Bruce Siski Show. Interact with the show on social media. Tell us what you think and learn about upcoming guests. Follow Bruce Siski Show on Twitter.
That's my bad. I was sending a tweet.
Visit KDAL610.com to stream the show or catch it on the 610 KDAL mobile app. Free from iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your apps.
And the truth shall set you free.
Thanks for listening to the Bruce Siski Show on 610 and FM 103.9 KDAL.
10:11. It's a Monday morning, 12th day of September 2022. Bruce Siski Show on KDAL. Good to have you along. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we'll chat with the athletic director at UMD, Forrest Carr. He'll be joining us on the second Monday of every month to talk Bulldog sports as he gets settled into the new gig up on campus. He'll be joining us in studio roughly 10:35. Joining us now, author of Oath of Loyalty, the latest Mitch Rapp book is out tomorrow. And we're pleased to be joined by Kyle Mills now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on again.
Thanks for doing this. Kind of an annual tradition now. How are things? How's the last year been for you?
It hasn't been too bad. I actually spent it in Spain, so I can't complain.
That was going to be one of my questions. And talking to you last year and everything with COVID, travel was difficult the last couple of years. And I know you like to travel. You've been able to get back to kind of getting out and seeing things the way you normally do?
Yeah, a little bit. It was touch and go, though. We got on the plane just when, at the last minute that we were allowed to. And if we hadn't, I think we'd have been living in our car for a year.
Oh, well, is it a nice car at least?
No, not really.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, so let's talk books. Last we visited was before Enemy at the Gates came out, the book that came out last year, and you had talked about, maybe you had some ideas in mind for a three-book series, and if I remember correctly, things hit a little close to home, right?
Yeah, I had this plan to do a three-book arc about the fall of American democracy, kind of from, evil politicians on the inside doing it. And then, January 6th happened, and they're all to talk about the stolen election. And so it did. It was felt a little on the nose. I think it would have been depressing to read instead of fun.
That's certainly fair. And Mitch Rapp, of course, is the hero of these stories. And, let's talk about the rides you took him on in Enemy at the Gates and kind of how Enemy at the Gates kind of spills into your latest book, Oath of Loyalty, that's out tomorrow.
Yeah, it kind of is a book split in two. And what I wanted to do was focus on Mitch's his time with the president and his relationship with the president, because he's always had presidents that liked him, and this guy despises him. So that was the challenge. And when that book ended, it was really going to carry over into the next book. And this is when sort of the personal battle between Mitch Rapp and the president starts.
Kyle Mills, our guest, the book is Oath of Loyalty. It's out tomorrow. As I look at Enemy at the Gates and I look here and all the books in the series prior to this, you talk about the president liking Mitch Rapp. But it feels like from the start he's had presidents that trusted him, and for whatever reason, Anthony Cook walks into the White House as the president in this case, and not only doesn't like him, he doesn't trust him either, it seems like.
No, exactly. Mitch has earned this trust from the presidents over, 20 years. But these presidents were all about helping America fundamentally, and this president is very much about his own power. And he sees Irene Kennedy, the director, and Mitch Rapp as challenges to that kind of absolute power that he's going for.
In this latest book, Oath of Loyalty, there's a truce that develops with Mitch Rapp and the president, Anthony Cook. And it's brokered by Irene Kennedy, correct?
That's right. She hopes that she can kind of calm this down before it blows up. But you can't trust a politician.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And you talked about, the changes that you made in this arc that you were putting together because things hit too close to home. But the reality is that reality does kind of have some, how can I say this, some parallels here. In all these books that you've written, there's always a little bit of kernel of reality, right?
Absolutely. What I call the rap verse, the universe he lives in is really long and rich. and it goes on for 20 years from when he was in college to now. And I see it as this parallel universe that's almost the same as ours, but just a little bit different.
We're talking to Kyle Mills. The book is Oath of Loyalty. It is out tomorrow, wherever it is that you get your books, the latest book in the Mitch Rapp series, which has been going for many, many years, and Kyle has taken it over since the passing of Vince Flynn and has done a fantastic job. How do you see Oath of Loyalty in terms of the evolution of Mitch Rapp?
He continues to evolve, and I think he's wondering what his next role is in the United States because, you know, for a long time he was focused on fighting terrorism, but now he's gotten involved in Russia and, you know, China is a problem. America's internal politics are a problem. So, you know, what is the guy with the Glock? You know, what's his role going forward? And he's pondering that. I don't think he's figured it out yet.
And I don't want to give anything away here because this book is fantastic, but one of the things I'm curious about, and I think I know the answer to this, but how did you settle on the countries that you settled on to have Mitch Rapp and others settle in as you know, he's kind of having to settle in away from the United States. How do you settle on those countries? Is it just kind of knowledge of those countries from your travels?
Yeah, you know, he spends a lot of time in South Africa now and has a house there. And that originally came because he was trying to basically get his girlfriend away from the United States and away from all her former enemies. So he put her out there thinking, you know, that no one would ever get to her or no one would ever find her. And now he spends more and more time there. And a part of it is because I spent some time living in South Africa and I thought it was a really fascinating setting.
And Uganda's featured in here as well. Is that a country you've gotten to spend some time in?
I have actually not spent any time
really?
There, only Kenya and Namibia. But it had the right kind of terrain for what I wanted to do.
Very good. Mitch Rapp, book, Oath of Loyalty, out tomorrow. Kyle Mills is our guest. So I got to ask you about this. It's something I've been curious about for a few weeks. I've been in my other reading as I was waiting for this to come out. I about a year or so ago, I found the Terminal List by Jack Carr in the $5 bin at Walmart. One of the greatest $5. Yeah, it was one of the greatest $5 bin finds I've ever had. Loved it. So I grabbed the second book, True Believer, and I was reading it earlier in the summer. And so my wife will attest to this. I'm a very quiet reader. I'll just sit on the couch and I read. I'm just kind of taking myself. You know, the whole idea of you're going off in your own little world, I do that a lot when I'm reading. And I don't say much. I don't react to a whole lot of things that I'm reading. I just kind of take it all in and try to enjoy the experience. But there was a moment in True Believer where where Jack Carr's writing about, I forget the exact scene in the context, but he brings up Mitch Rapp in the book. I got to think you know about this by now. What's that mean to have the main character in your book be somebody that somebody else is bringing up in his? Because it's not done for a competitive reason. It's done because of appreciation. I'm certain of that.
Yeah, you know, I've known Jack since before his first book came out. So I think he's just having a little fun with that. It's kind of interesting to cross over these universes.
It is, and I will tell you, I popped. You know, Scott Horvath and Mitch Rapp, and Scott Horvath is a main character in Brad Thor's books, which I've read a few of, and then and Mitch, I laughed. My wife's like, what? So I had to explain it to her, and she was very confused because she has not read these books.
You know, it's funny. It's one of my favorite things about this business is I don't think we feel competitive with each other at all because we're fans of each other, and so... We all promote each other's books because, you know, Jack writes amazing books and so does Brad.
And I would throw in there that there's no reason to be because I'm going to read everything that you guys all write because I think it's tremendous and it's fun. And again, you kind of go off in your own little world. But yeah, I wouldn't look at it as competition. But yeah, I thought that was really cool. If that were me, I would be like, that's really neat that somebody put that in their book.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's particularly a writer of Jack's stature now.
Yeah, what do you you said you know him? Well, what do you think of everything that's happened with him? It's his fame has certainly exploded here in the last year.
Oh man, he is definitely the hardest working guy I know. you know, all incredibly well deserved. When I first met him, I thought, man, this guy's going places. He is on it, and I was right.
And certainly there's a realism with his books as well, to the point that the government blacks out certain portions of it. Are you grateful that you don't have to go through that process?
That's horrible. You know, I know a lot of writers who have to do that. In fact, I was just talking to Don Bentley a couple of days ago, and he's waiting on his, I think. So, yeah, the benefit of having a father who is an FBI agent and the director of Interpol is much better than having done it myself, because that can really get bogged down in kind of bureaucratic hell.
So I don't want to give anything away too much from this book, Oath of Loyalty, but I want to get your perspective on this as we move forward. What do you think? Because you're already working on it. I know. What's next for Mitch Rapp?
Oh, I think, you know, I'm going to back it down a little bit. You know, he's had to deal with the Russians and the President of the United States, and I want to do something that's a little more personal and drawn in on him personally. So that's what the next one will be.
From a career standpoint, you know, and we talked about this before. I got to think Mitch is pushing 50 at this point. You know, is there something to that going forward, that there's got to be some sort of transition that happens?
You know, I haven't really aged him. You know, Vince did, though. So
yeah.
Mitch is exactly my age, so he would be 56. I know that because in American Assassin, he graduated from college in the same day I did.
That's right, yeah.
So, no, I have not done that. I talk fans about it, but they just have a really insatiable, you know, passion for Mitch doing the action sequence, and the idea of moving him into a mentor situation and having him bring up a young guy or something, that fans just don't—they just don't seem to want it.
How do you feel about that as an author? Because you've done series before, and I've seen it done both ways. But how do you feel about the idea of either aging or not aging the hero in a story like this?
It is indeed strange. I mean, you know, he ages emotionally and mentally, and the world moves on, but physically he doesn't. And I don't think that's too bad. But, you know, for instance, it's much harder with, for instance, he has kind of a daughter named Anna who's 7, but it's really noticeable that she never gets older.
Right.
So I'm not sure what to do about that.
I guess that's fair too. I tell you, I'm looking forward to whatever's next. I think people are really going to enjoy Oath of Loyalty. It is available wherever you get your books tomorrow. I certainly recommend it. Kyle, always appreciate the time. I'm going to reserve this spot 1 year from now, all right?
I'm looking forward to it.
Kyle Mills, he is the author of the Mitch Rapp series. Oath of Loyalty is available wherever you get your books tomorrow. And again, highly recommend. It is very good. And while you're out buying a book, those Jack Carr books are tremendous. The Terminal List, it's on paperback. I think they're all on paperback except the new one. True Believers, the second one, then Savage Son, which I have not cracked open yet, but I'm looking forward to it. He's done a tremendous job with James Reese, and of course he's got the series on Amazon, which we just dove into the first episode, my wife and I, last week, and now after watching the first episode, I'm sitting there and I know everything's going to happen, and she knows that I know, but I'm not going to say it because I don't want to spoil it for her. Now she's going to read the book before we continue on with the series, but I recommend both. They're very, very good, and you know, in the case of Jack Carr, the fun part is, not fun, but fascinating, just the stuff that gets blacked out in the book. Because he leaves it in the book. And because Jack Carr was a SEAL, and he knows all these things. He has all these details in his mind. And there are certain details the government does not want made available to the general public. Let's just say it that way. And that's, if you've ever read an interview with Jack Carr or heard one, I heard one with Pat McAfee, and he's talked about these things. It's such a process, and that's why I wanted to bring it with Kyle. It just feels like that would be one of the more frustrating processes out there, trying to go through that and what's going to get redacted and what isn't when a book like that comes out. 10:25, I'll stop blabbing. UMD Athletic Director Forrest Carr in studio in about 10 minutes from now. Bruce Siskey, show on a Monday morning, 610, 103.9 KDAL.
This is the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm. The University of Minnesota football team blew past the Leathernecks of Western Illinois on Saturday, 62-10, controlling every facet of the game. We'll have a recap after this.
At Western National, we believe in the power of nice. Nice welcomes you. Nice is sincere. Nice has your back. NACE offers a helping hand and shows up for you when you need it the most. At Western National, NACE has guided our business for over 100 years, and we're just getting started. Ask your independent agent today for Western National Insurance and experience the power of NACE.
Among the many stars in the blowout win on Saturday was senior wide receiver Chris Ottman-Bell, who had five receptions for 118 yards. He spoke to Golden Gopher Radio Network sideline reporter Justin Gard immediately after Saturday's victory.
It felt good throwing the ball around, flying around with my guys, and it felt good to connect with 10 at a time. The guys who had it down up front, the O-line had it down up front. Pass protection is great. We just felt good letting it loose.
What is it like to have all these different options? You've obviously got Dalen. Here comes Heather Fleck to say congratulations. Brevin Spanford with a big catch as well. What's it like to have all these different options?
Man, we're getting everybody, when everyone's contributing and everyone's like getting active and everyone's touching the ball, it's amazing. When we spread the ball like that and everyone's making plays, it's awesome to see. And as you can see, there's a progression each and every week.
We've been asking Tanner about what it's like to have Kirk Ciarrocca back, but I'm curious your perspective on what you've seen now in 2.0, this version.
Oh, I love it, man. I'm glad Ciarrocca's back. As you can see, we're attacking more in all aspects, the running game and pass game. It's awesome, man. I'm glad he's back.
How badly did you want to get in on that one?
I did, man. I love my running back, so I gave up the trade, I love it, man. I made a good play, turned through a great ball, and we got in and we scored, won the game regardless, so that's all that matters.
The Gophers are now 2-0. They'll host 0-2 Colorado this coming Saturday. That's the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm.
Your Twin Ports home for Gopher basketball.
It's good. He knocked it down.
KDAL.
Enjoy some sunshine these next couple of days, because the wind will shift on Wednesday, and then it looks like the bottom's going to fall out for some temperatures. And we have some significant rain chances Wednesday night through Friday, with a slow-moving system making its way through the area. Coming up on 10:32, news is next. And then in studio with us, the athletic director at UMD, Forrest Carr. Get his thoughts on his first couple of weeks on the job and a whole lot more. We talk Bulldog sports with the AD after CBS News on KDAL.
The Bruce Siski Show.
I enjoy having breakfast in bed. I like waking up to the smell of bacon. Sue me. And since I don't have a butler, I have to do it myself. So, most nights before I go to bed, I will lay 6 strips of bacon out on my George Foreman grill. Then I go to sleep. When I wake up, I plug in the grill. I go back to sleep again. Then I wake up to the smell of crackling bacon. It is delicious. It's good for me. It's a perfect way to start the day.
On 610 and FM 103.9, KDAL.
10:37 Monday morning. Sunshine outside. Hazy sunshine, but we will take it. 63 Duluth International Airport, 58 Superior, downtown Duluth at 61. Tomorrow, Jeff Papis, he was in Mankato Saturday. I was not, so we'll get his perspective on the Bulldog game against Minnesota State. Mavericks win 17-10. We'll talk about Military Appreciation Week at Mulawski Stadium, Saturday night versus Upper Iowa, and a preview of that game as well. That's tomorrow, as well as a hockey conversation. Pat Micheletti, our good friend, joins. We'll discuss the Wild, who are 9 days away from opening training camp. Yes, it happens that fast. Then again, as the athletic director at UMD, Forrest Carr, can attest, the Bulldog hockey team's been on the ice for some time now. So this is the Wild are late, actually, to get on the ice.
Yeah, I think Coach Sandlin likes to start after Labor Day. So last week they were out in the ice.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll head down there probably tomorrow and start trying to get a lay of the land and figure out who all these new people are.
Yep, yeah, a lot of new faces.
I said, somebody's like, well, you just look at the numbers. I said, well, sometimes you can't see the numbers. Yeah. You've got to get to know some faces.
Yep, and get to know what they look like when they're skating.
Yep, and when there's 12 of them, that's a lot to get to know. So, yep. All right. How have things been going so far? A couple of weeks now officially on the job.
Yeah, it's been great. Just learning things, a lot of listening. The first week I met with all of our head coaches, administrators, and then last week started to meet some of the different leaders on campus, managers, directors, different people that I'll be working closely with. So a lot of meetings, a lot of getting to know people, and it's been really fun.
Does everybody have to wear a name tag around the office, or have you gotten people down by now?
Yeah, well, no name tags, but I'm learning a lot of new names. So
yeah, yeah. How has this process gone? Has anything surprised you since you got here? I mean, I know you had a pretty good knowledge of what you're walking into.
Yeah, I really did. You know, I had talked to Josh a number of times. The interview process was extensive. They provided a lot of information. So there aren't really any big surprises. It's just more trying to figure out what some of the opportunities are going forward.
You had a chance to attend the football game a couple of weeks back, September 1st, the opener against Southwest. Your thoughts on just that experience and seeing the students and seeing the fans back in that stadium for the first time this year?
Well, that was really a memorable night and a fun night for me. I was on the TV broadcast for the entire second quarter. I was on the radio at halftime, met a whole bunch of different donors and supporters, and just to see the tailgating, see the parents, see the band come marching in, it was really a great experience.
How cool is that vibe? Just that the tailgate lots, which they've done such a good job with over the years, and the Bulldog Walk that goes right down the middle.
Yep, yeah, it's just a really, really good college football atmosphere.
Yeah, what have you learned about everything that goes into Military Appreciation Week, which the plans, I'm sure, were already well in motion before you arrived, but this is, I remember talking to Kurt Wiese about this last year, and the pride that they take in this week as a football team, that this means a lot to them.
Yeah, I've heard about what this event looks like, and I can't wait to be part of it for the first time and to see it. Some exciting news: we're going to have this new speaker system that they tell me is likely to be operational, so that'll be really great for the fans to be able to hear a lot better what's going on. And that's been a big project. It's a large infrastructure project for the university, and to get that completed and working has been a goal for the university, and I think that's going to be fun.
Well, that's not easy too. It's one thing to have to set up a building with acoustics, and whether it's AMSOIL or Romano, they're very good in both, but that's a whole different experience trying to do this outside, especially in this area where you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, my understanding is that the people in facilities and an outside company had a sound expert come in and determine what it would take, and there's been people up there every day up finalizing everything, so hopefully it'll be going and ready to go for this weekend.
Of course, the football opener was also the unveiling of the new mascot, and I don't know that I've seen that kind of reaction amongst our fans to something, and very quickly the university reversed course. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, from what I've gathered, it's really clear that a lot of great work and effort went into developing ideas for updating CHAMP, and it's been going on for over a year. And we just decided that moving forward, we'll have a committee, including students, alums, fans, supporters, to gather a lot of input and examine different concepts for what the CHAMP costume should look like. And I always say I clerked for a bankruptcy judge who told me you should never have a list that's greater than 4 because nobody can remember it anyway. And so
that's a really good. I got to remember that because I talk too much a lot of times. I got to keep that in mind.
Yeah. So in our press release, I just tried to narrow it down to kind of 3 things that we could focus on. We're going to try to honor the history and tradition of the CHAMP mascot. So that means trying to get something that looks close. As close as we can to the version that everyone's used to. We need to consider some modern cooling features for the safety of the performer. That's really important. So our current CHAMP mascot doesn't have that. So going forward, we want to build that into whatever ends up being the new costume. And then having something that aligns with the maroon and gold brand. So in some way incorporates the school colors. And so we'll talk about that. So we're going to have this committee, and then in addition to that, we've had a lot of people that want to sign up and be part of it, so we'll also find a way to incorporate others into the process, members of the campus and community, to participate in the final selection of CHAMP, and we don't know what that's going to look like. It might be some forums on campus, it might be a formal voting process, but we'll definitely have something in place so that people can have a lot of input. I said during my press conference, and it's something that I believe to the core, that the University of Minnesota Duluth is a community asset, and my job and our department's job and everybody at the university, our job is to steward the asset appropriately, and that often means including people in the process of big decisions like this. And so we'll just kind of slow things down and include a lot of people and come up with something that people are really going to be proud of.
The old wrestling promoter Vince McMahon would always say, don't ask somebody to do something that you're not willing to do yourself. So before I told people to go sign up for this committee, I did sign up. Don't feel like you have to pick me, but I did go sign up for it because, again, I'm not going to ask people to do something that I can't do myself. So,
yeah.
But I think that's a cool idea, and it's I know that we talked off there. I know the involvement in this process. This was not something that willy-nilly one day somebody woke up and said, hey, let's do this. That's not how this works.
Yeah, no, like I said, it's been going on for over a year. A lot of great work has been done by many people, people that were working hard on it. And we'll just continue that process. And like I said, we're going to end up with something great.
Football, not the only sport going on right now. Soccer got its first win in Minot since 2013 on Friday. That's pretty cool. They're home this weekend as well. And volleyball is off to a 10-0 start, which I believe that's 2016, the last time that's happened. And that's a really good program. It's been that long for them, but it's great to see them back the way that they're playing. And they're home this weekend for their first time at home this season.
Yeah, so women's soccer will be Friday against Upper Iowa, 6 p.m. at Mulaski Stadium, and then they play again on Sunday against Winona at 1 p.m. at Mulaski Stadium. And then, yep, you mentioned volleyball. I had a really great conversation with Coach Jim Booz this morning, and boy, they've faced a lot of injuries over the last couple years and yet continue to have just an incredibly strong program that the community and the university can be proud of. So I'm really looking forward to attending my first home volleyball matches this weekend, and hopefully our girls will be able to attend with me and cheer on the Bulldogs. So they play against Minnesota State Moorhead at 6 p.m. in Romano Gym on Friday, and then again on Saturday against Northern State at 2 p.m. in Romano Gym. So it's going to be an exciting weekend of volleyball.
We had the coach on a couple of weeks ago. He dropped in, and I texted him last year. We got season tickets last year for the first time, my wife and I. We went to the first couple of matches, and I can't remember who they played, but they got beat pretty good, and battling the injuries like they were. And I remember a couple of weeks later, they're at home. They played Concordia St. Paul, one of the best teams in the country in Division II. And yeah, they lost. They lost in four sets, but it was a tremendous back and forth match. And I texted him. I said, you can see A, the improvement in these young players, and B, their will. And that's, that will can take you a lot of places. And it didn't last year, but I'm telling you, that team's going places this year. They're vastly improved.
Yeah, that Northern Sun Conference is just so strong. And
so
not only that, but the whole region with the MIAA. So, you're going to end up having probably 13 nationally ranked teams in the top 25 when it's all said and done near the end of the year. And there's only 8 spots for the region to get to go to the NCAA tournament. So there's a lot of good programs competing for a small number of slots. But, I think the team is well positioned and having a good year.
Yeah, and certainly the atmosphere for volleyball here is very good. I think you'll enjoy yourself this weekend. And
great.
You're a couple of weeks from hockey, so.
Yeah, it's hard to believe the winter sports are going to be starting right around the corner.
We do a countdown on my Twitter account, and I pre-schedule them all, so I was going last week at some time, so I sat down and did a bunch into this week. Like, oh my goodness, we're under 20 days. And now, today's 19. I'm like, this morning I'm going through for the rest of the week. I'm like, we have 14 days on Saturday. I got to get ready for this.
Yep, and then a few weeks after that, we'll have the basketballs going. So
yeah, it's a fun time of year getting everything back going again for sure. Good to see you. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. Thanks for having me, and thanks for the support.
You got it. Athletic Director at UMD Forest Carr, umdbulldogs.com is the website for tickets and a whole lot more. 1048 on KDAL.
Take us with you on your mobile with the free KDAL radio app.
It's all I listen to.
10:56. Thanks to Athletic Director Forrest Carr for dropping by. Again, you'll hear from him the second Monday of every month, updating on Bulldog Athletics and everything going on there. So our next conversation with him will come on Monday, October 10th. I say that out loud as to best remind myself to add that to my calendar. So you see how that goes. Sometimes I got to remember things that way. Anyway, we talked off air, and I wanted to throw this out there, and I had a tweet about this last week when the whole mascot decision was put out there. And again, I would recommend, if you want to sign up for this committee, umdbulldogs.com, but the connection between that university and the people in this town, to me, has just grown leaps and bounds the last 10 years or so, maybe a little more than that. I think every day I think about, I'm on the lake walk, or I'm out shopping somewhere, and you see the Bulldog gear. It's just not something that was as commonplace a little more than a decade ago than it is now. And success has certainly bred some of that. There's no question. But I think there's been a lot of hard work done by folks in that university and in the community, for that matter, to help that connection along. And it's been very, very cool to see. Vikings beat the Packers yesterday 23-7. Season opener, of course, for both teams. Vikings walked down the field, hot knife through butter, etc., for the opening drive. Fourth down, touchdown to Justin Jefferson. And then it was Aaron Rodgers to Christian Watson, except that Christian Watson forgot to catch the football on what would have been a 75-yard touchdown for Green Bay's first offensive play. Maybe that's a game changer, right? Maybe that makes it a whole different affair at U.S. Bank Stadium yesterday. But ifs and buts and candy and nuts, you know how that all works. And Jefferson rolls up 158 in the first half, 184 for the game. The Packers did seem to have some answers for him in the second half. Of course, the Vikings also had a big lead for most of the second half, so that may have played a role in the Packers finding answers on Justin Jefferson. I'm sure we'll talk more about the border battle as the week goes on. Vikings next Monday at Philadelphia. Packers Sunday night versus Chicago. Injury updates today from head coach Matt LaFleur. Unfortunately, a couple of those coming from the Packers side. Minnesota State Mankato beat UMD 17-10 Saturday in Mankato. Couple of first quarter touchdowns to the Mavericks, one off a punt return, the other one after a Bulldog turnover in UMD territory led to a short field, and that made things difficult on a UMD offense that never really found its footing on Saturday. We'll talk more about that on the radio show tomorrow as we're joined by Jeff Papis, who had the call on Cat 98.9 Saturday in Mankato. Washington State upsets Wisconsin 17-14. Gophers get the job done against Western Illinois. The Twins now 4.5 out, swept over the weekend. Tough one for the Twins. The Brewers two back in the wild card after winning 2 out of 3 from the Reds. Jeff does join tomorrow at 10:10. We'll talk Bulldog football with him. And then also tomorrow, Pat Micheletti, as we talk a little hockey ahead of Wild training camp next week. Have a good Monday. Brad Bennett's next. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Bruce Siskey Show. Hit us up on Twitter at Bruce Siskey Show and let us know what you think.
No, yes, no. Well, no, I crossed my mind.
Visit KDAL610.com to podcast today's show anytime.
What'd you say?
Listen to shows on demand and download for free. You can also subscribe via Spotify or your favorite podcast app. This has been the Bruce Siskey Show. CBS News is up next. For more than 80 years, KDAL 103.9, W28FBFM, and 610 KDAL Duluth Superior, a Midwest communication station. KDAL.